أهله وصحبه أجمعين. First and foremost, I apologize. I had a khutbah to deliver elsewhere, and I didn't want to leave you brothers unattended. Also, because I know that it's the last Friday before Ramadan, and I'm sure the topic was going to be important. So I tried to manage to finish my khutbah and leave quickly and make it here. Unfortunately, when Muslims don't adhere to the most basic of teachings, such as parking the car elsewhere instead of the middle of the street, I've been outside for 15 minutes just waiting for a brother to come and get in his car and leave. He's in the middle of the road. In the middle of the road. This is one of the consequences of coming late and not caring about anyone else. Well, I'm late, akhi, so I have to make the law, just park in the middle of the street and just go. Wallah, people will manage. It's unacceptable, but that's what happened. Otherwise, I could have been here earlier. Anyways, forgive me. Inshallah, we'll manage. Those who stayed, you know, may Allah reward you with goodness. I seen 80% of the people outside looking at me like, well, what is this guy doing? But let's get into business, as we're already late. The Shaykh Hafizahullah had said, and of course I didn't hear him, so I have to read this fresh. The days are bringing about some refreshing breathes, and also some reminders of faith for this noble month, the month of blessings and goodness, the month of forgiveness and mercy. It is the blessed month of Ramadan. Have you made up your mind? Have you decided to have a portion, to have a share in this particular month? Have you prepared for welcoming this month by that will bring with them or with it a lot of goodness? Have you decided that this year will be different than every other year, which is what we say every year? This year will be different than every other year, and then every year turns out to be just like every other year, if not worse. Wallahu musta'an. But really this time we will make a change, inshaAllah ta'ala. This opportunity which comes only once a year, it's an annual opportunity to change our ways. The Salaf al-Salih, our righteous predecessors, among the companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and those who followed them in goodness, they used to pay great attention to the month of Ramadan, and they would be extremely rejoiced upon its coming. They used to beg Allah and supplicate and invoke Him that Allah will allow them to make it to Ramadan. Then they would further ask Allah to allow them to actually have their deeds accepted by Allah in Ramadan. They used to fast the days, and they used to preserve their fasting against anything which will affect their fast. The khutbah translation is here, not in the brothers kissing each other. It's unbelievable how easily the shaitan has access to us. What benefit will you have if you've seen two brothers kiss each other? You learn how to kiss? The khutbah translation is here, man. Don't let the shaitan trick you. One word may be the best word in the whole khutbah translation. You miss out because two people are hugging each other. What benefit is that? Now we have to have stronger, you know, attention. It's like maybe if you watch too much TV, you can no longer pay attention to things. Have a focus, not because of me. Anyone else could be standing here. If something is being said about the deen, our mind and focus is with that. Not, oh, this brother stand, this one open the window, this one turn on the fan. We will never finish. Then I just go home and sleep. Right? So barakallah fiqh. Pay attention for the sake of Allah. So you can benefit. So you can benefit. Ma'lish, sometimes I'm tough. But sometimes you have to be tough. Otherwise, you know, things will become too easy for us. So this is how they used to be. They used to preserve their fasting from anything which may affect their fasting or even decrease it, such as idle actions, playing games, backbiting, gossiping, lying. And they would spend their whole night in prayer and in the recitation of the Quran. And they would go out searching for the poor and the needy, and make sure that they aid them with their sadaqat and their goodness, and feeding those who want to be feeded among the Muslims, or feeding the fasting people. And they used to strive against themselves in obedience to Allah. And they would strive against the enemies of Allah in the cause of Allah in Ramadan as well. As you know, Badr and the Fatah of Mecca, all these were in Ramadan. Actually, in the month of Ramadan, many major victories were given to the Muslims in this blessed month of Ramadan, in order for the word of Allah to be the most supreme. This was the way of the righteous predecessors. The month of Ramadan, the Shaykh said, is not a month of laziness and relaxation, as many people assume. Rather, it is a month of jihad, striving and struggling. It's a month of worship and it's a month of acquiring good deeds. And this is why we should be happy and we should welcome Ramadan with happiness and great anxiety. How could that not be the case? And it is the month which Allah has chosen for the obligatory act of fasting to be in. Allah chose Ramadan for the Siyam, the Shahr, which we fast. You could have fasted in Rajab, but Allah chose Ramadan that this is the month in which we fast. And this is the month which the Quran was sent down. A month where one of the five pillars of Islam is fulfilled, and a month where the book of Allah, the book that the history hasn't known any book like it, was revealed in the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس until the end of the ayat. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was sent down, guidance for mankind. How is it not that it's the month where people actually are taken from the darkness to the light? And it is a month in which the doors of Jannah are open and the doors of Jannah are closed and the deeds, you know, people acquire multiple good deeds. We should take advantage of this opportunity while we are young. And if you are old, then you should take this opportunity while you are old, before we move to a stage where we cannot do anything anymore. Everyone has his ability to do something according to his physical ability. And Allah does not give any soul more than it can handle. Some are unable to fast because they're of old age, they have some sickness, diabetes or whatever. They cannot really stay away without medication. They cannot go out for a whole day without medication. These are excused by Allah, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other good deeds which one can do. So the Shaykh said, let us first begin by taking a covenant with ourselves. That's individual responsibility, to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, a sincere repentance from every sin, major or minor, and that we will take it upon ourselves that we will obey Allah as long as we live. In other words, we will accept to be slaves of Allah. As mentioned many times before, and there's no harm in repetition in this particular area. It's one thing to worship Allah, it's another thing to be a slave of Allah. Many of us are good at worshiping Allah, maybe, but they're not good at being slaves. Meaning they only know Allah in Ramadan, as it's a disease of many people. Only Ramadan, Salat al-Saf al-Awwal, Salat al-Jama'ah, Fajr, MashaAllah. You try, the first night of Ramadan, you will see the masjid. You think you're somewhere else. You'll see people you've never seen before. Your own neighbors, you've never seen them before. Suddenly, MashaAllah, he's Shaykh al-Islam in the first row. And not even, if we were to say when Ramadan ends, they will go back. No! Give him 5 days. 5 days. And it wears out. You know, like you put perfume and it's strong, then you know it starts fading and fading until it's gone. It's like, you know, we get excited in the first few days and then it's like a balloon and it's gone. Nothing is left. It's crazy stuff. For a Muslim, don't we feel ashamed, you know, to do this with Allah? Okay, you know, the first few days I'm okay, then this should be our attitude always. Every day we should strive. Now we're not going to reach perfection. We all have our sins and shortcomings. But we should strive to be in this condition all year round. In Ramadan we do a boost. Not that we are ta'ban all 11 months and in Ramadan we're okay. We should be okay all 11 months in Ramadan. We have a super, you know, superpower that Allah gives us in order to do more good deeds. This should be the attitude of the believer. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, and whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has already, فَقَدْ فَازَ as in the past, has already attained the most greatest of success. To obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that we should do this always and forever. The Shaykh said, quoted the ayah, وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, and worship your Lord until death comes to you. Yaqeen here means death. Meaning your mission doesn't end until your soul departs your body. Until then, we have an obligation. Say, verily my salah and my sacrifice and my living and my death afwan are for Allah Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of everything. The Shaykh said, O Ibadallah, O slaves of Allah, we should welcome this noble month or this generous month, as he said, with the sincere determination to fast, stand up in prayer because of our belief, imanan, wahtisaban, based on our belief In Allah, we're not doing it as a ada. It's not a habit. It's based on iman. And ihtisaban, meaning hoping that we would be rewarded by Allah. And we have three different narrations where we were promised Jannah. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, right? وَمَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانِ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Three narrations mention, if you fast the month of Ramadan, if you stand up and pray in the night of Ramadan, in the nights of Ramadan, and if you do it in Laylat al-Qadr, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Allah will forgive all the previous sins. But in all three narrations, the conditions were imanan, you believe in Allah. There's a difference between someone who does it because everyone does it. Some Muslims, their idea is, look, I live among other Muslims and I would really prefer to be watching the soap opera, but they're going to say I'm a bad person. You know, everybody's going to Taraweeh, yallah, let me shower and go to the Taraweeh also, so the neighbors can see me and know that I'm a good Muslim also, blah blah. This is nonsense. This is unacceptable in Islam. Unacceptable. We cannot come here because everybody else is coming. Even if they told you, even if there, somebody made an announcement from the masjid, okay, no one is coming for the salah, and there's no valid reason, and you know that if you come to the masjid, you're the only one with the imam. Do you stay at home or do you come? You come. Doesn't matter who's here. It doesn't matter who's here. This is for Allah, not for the creation. So ada, the habit, is a problem. It's imanan, belief in Allah, ihtisaban, hoping that Allah will grant us the reward associated with that. Then the Shaykh said, and that we should refrain or abstain from all kinds of sins, whether they are verbal or they are things pertaining to sight or things pertaining to hearing or things pertaining to consumption of food or things pertaining to anything which will prevent, you know, the acceptance of the fast, and so we may be forgiven in the month of Ramadan and we will be protected from the fire. The Shaykh said, it is expected that we maintain the etiquettes of fasting, such as delaying suhoor until the last part of the night, because in some countries, I don't know about, you know, India or Pakistan or some of the other countries, but in my country at least, we know what time we would have suhoor? Around 11 o'clock. Okay, you may have dinner and then you have suhoor, then you go to sleep. And of course, you know, if you wake up for Fajr, this is, you know, this will be an accomplishment. Because in my country at least, if you don't pray, you're still a Muslim. So, you know, people don't really pay attention to Salah. Some of them, of course, pray. Some of them say, if I don't pray, mafi mushkila. Even though the correct opinion, if you don't pray, there's no point in fasting. Fasting is a diet. If you want to lose weight, sure. But if you want to worship Allah, you want to fast without praying, forget it. Forget it. It's not going to be accepted. And we have evidences to support that particular view. But that's not the point here. The point was that suhoor is to be delayed until the last part. In fact, according to some of the righteous predecessors, one of the Sahaba, he was asked, what is the time frame, what is the time span between the suhoor and the salah? He said, قَدْرُ خَمْسِينَ آيَةً, equivalent to the recitation of 50 ayat from the Quran, should be the time between suhoor and salah. And don't believe what some of these, they call it taqweem or roznama or, you know, whatever they call it, calendar. You know, they have a special category called imsak. You've seen that one before? This is a bid'ah. Allah says, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. And eat and drink until it becomes clear to you the white thread from the black thread of Fajr. Then complete your fasting until the night. Allah allowed us to eat until Fajr comes in. These people say Fajr comes in at 4:30, you stop eating at 4:20. Why? 10 minutes Allah gave us. Why are you taking it away? On what basis? No basis. Well, you know, wara. We want to be extra cautious, akhi. Just so you will not be... No, akhi, no. You cannot include new things in the deen because you think you're being more protective than Allah. No one is more jealous against the limitations of Allah than Himself. When He allowed us to eat until suhoor, until Fajr, meaning you are allowed to eat until Fajr. And you don't believe these imsak, you know, imsakiyat. Even they call it imsakiyat, the time for refrainment from eating. Don't pay attention to that. You can continue to eat. But don't do like so many people do. He's sleeping and then he hears Allahu Akbar, he gets up and he starts boiling eggs. You know, the imam, you know, the adhan is done, wallah, I'm having breakfast. Khalas ya akhi, you have only the time of adhan. if the muezzin is gone by the time of Fajr. Now that's another discussion. But we can't be playing games. So don't go too early, and don't stop eating before Allah allowed you, and don't eat after the time has ended. Now we have to stick to the limitations. So the first thing the Shaykh said, the first thing is that you try to delay suhoor, which is something that is preferable in Islam. And then we hasten to break our fast. We hasten to break our fast. Many people, again, ma'alesh, this is going to be a long one. But I think this is the last time we get to do this before Ramadan. So bear with me. Some people want to be super special during iftar. He will have dates in his hand, and the imam, the muaddin, will say Allahu Akbar, and he doesn't eat. He wants to repeat after the muaddin the whole thing. And some of the muaddinin, mashallah, take 6-7 minutes for the adhan to be completed, you know. And he doesn't do anything. Then afterwards he raises his hands and he makes long dua, then he says, I'm gonna pray first, you know. Ya akhi, ahabbu, Allah Azza wa Jalla qul, ahabbu ibadi ilayya a'jaluhum fitra. The most beloved of my slaves to me is the one who eats the quickest. The fastest one in breaking the fast. As soon as he says Allah, you should be chewing on a date. And when you finish chewing, you repeat after the muaddin, and you can get both of them in. But don't be doing this, wallah, I'm going to wait. No, this is actually the way of the Jews and the Christians. The Muslims, we make suhoor late, we break our fast immediately. As soon as the muaddin calls the adhan. Tayyib. Then the Shaykh said, if someone curses you, then do not respond with an equal deed. Rather say that you are fasting, in order for your deed to be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. Furthermore, we should seek Allah's pleasure in every deed we do, whether siyam or qiyam, so that our deed will be acceptable to Allah because of sincerity and according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the two conditions for the deed to be accepted. The Shaykh moved on to the next bullet point. It is recommended for the Muslim to maintain Salatul Taraweeh. And it is the Salah of Qiyam in Ramadan, in following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his Sahaba and the Khulafa al-Rashidin and those who followed them. Seeking the reward, as we mentioned earlier, whoever prays at night in Ramadan, out of Iman, and hope in the reward of Allah, then he will have his previous sins forgiven. And you should remain with the Imam until he leaves. Now, the Sunnah of 11 and 20, if I open this subject right now, I may not make it out of the masjid. So I will keep it on the side. Now, there's a difference of opinion about the 11 and the 20, but I'm sure everyone knows what the Prophet ﷺ did. What he did is what Aisha said. He never used to pray more, look at the word, more than 11, not in Ramadan, not outside of Ramadan. That should end the discussion. But some people like to elongate it, ma fi mushkila. Assuming the Imam prays 20, you don't leave. Even if you follow the position that 11 is the sunnah, in order to get the reward of praying all night, man qama ma'al imam hatta yansarif kutiba lahu qiyamu layla, hadith of Abu Dharr. Whoever prays with the imam until the imam leaves, he will have the reward of praying all night. You stay with the imam. You stay with the imam. But if you're the imam, or if you have a choice, the sunnah is 11 rak'at. 11 rak'at. Some of the people pray 20, some of the haram pray 20, masjid. Now then you can give a whole list of where 20 is being prayed. We say, Allah al-musta'an. No problem, it's salah. But if you want really the sunnah is clear. If you want to add, may Allah accept. We only ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept all the salawat of all the Muslims. So, but whatever the case, you stay with who? The imam. Don't leave before the imam, otherwise you will miss out on the reward of praying all night. You should spend the last 10 nights in salah and recitation of the Quran, remembrance of Allah, supplication, istighfar, following the way and hoping to acquire Laylatul Qadr, which is equal to around 83 years and 4 months of worship. One night, if you calculated, khayrun min alfi shahr. 1,000 months, calculated by some of the ulama who, mashallah, had good mathematics skills, it turned out to be 83 years and 4 months. Yani one night you worship Allah correctly and you'll be given the reward of worshipping 83 years. Now the average Muslim doesn't live 83 years. So that's one night equal to your lifespan and plus of worship. But where are those who actually strive? So some people say it's 27th only. So then they will abandon the 21st, 23rd, 25th. Again, these are differences of opinions. But it's not only the 27th. There are other narrations that it came in different years and different times. So really the most safe position is in the odd nights of the last 10 nights. And a Muslim should be striving all the time, not only in one night. We should make the effort to strive all the time. طيب. It is recommended for the Muslim or the fasting Muslim to maintain the recitation of the Quran in Ramadan and outside, along with the pondering and the reflection upon the statements and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the Quran will be a hujjah, will be a proof, an evidence, a support for you and not against you. And this is very important. We read the Quran more often than in Ramadan than elsewhere or other times, and we still don't understand the Quran, not in Ramadan and not in other times, and both are not acceptable. How can we imagine if you're reading, you know, a book in Spanish and you don't understand Spanish, and all day you read and walla baraka, you know, al harf bi ashr hasanat, the deed is equal to the letter is 1/10 good deeds, and Allah, no doubt. But is that why the Quran was revealed? So we can read it and not understand the message? Ultimately not. We need to familiarize ourselves with the content of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that whoever works upon the Quran, Allah guaranteed he will not go astray. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Whosoever follows my guidance, he shall never be led astray, nor will he ever be wretched. He will never be wretched. It is recommended for the Muslims to study the Quran with others, so they may get these four virtues and qualities. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there isn't a group of people who meet in a house from the houses of Allah reciting the Quran and learning it except that the angels will encompass them, the mercy will cover them, and Allah will remember them among those who are nearest to Him. And if you wish to get that reward, then I advertise from this microphone, every Friday, every Jumu'ah, in Ramadan we change in the schedule, we have a tafsir class in English in the Salama Da'wah Center from 1:30 till 2:15. Or is it? No, I'm sorry. From 2:15 till 3 o'clock, right? From 2:15 till 3 o'clock. Tafsir of the Quran in English. Everyone is welcome. You don't need a registration form, you don't need any fulus, you don't need anything. Just come. In Ramadan, why not? Instead of sleeping from Dhuhr to Asr, we go. It's a long drive, but it's with reward. And it's worth it. And you will get these virtues, because we will be studying the Book of Allah, nothing else. Bi-ithnillahi Azza wa Jal. Then the Shaykh mentioned that you should insist upon Allah while making supplication and seeking His forgiveness in the night and in the day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal, He descends to the lowest heaven in a manner which befits His Majesty every night. And He asks, is there anyone who's calling on me so I may respond to him? Is there anyone asking me so I may give him? Is there anyone seeking my forgiveness so I may forgive him? This is in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. Kulla layla, Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven, to the Sama' al-Dunya. How? Don't ask how. The Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we don't ask how, because there's nothing like Allah. There's nothing like Allah Azza wa Jalla. But we don't deny, because the Prophet ﷺ said, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Our Lord descends. He spoke Arabic, the Sahaba spoke Arabic, everybody knew what yanzil means. It meant descent, to descend. No denying of that. But how? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make a lot of dua. And particularly before breaking the fast. Particularly before you break your fast, it's a time where it is expected that your dua will be accepted. Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your master says, call on me, I will respond to you. The Muslim should strive to maintain his time and know that his lifespan is short, and that he should utilize the time of Ramadan to get closer to Allah, not to be among the heedless. So it is not acceptable what many people do. They turn the night into the day, and the day into the night. And I've asked some of the shabab, the youth, you know, what do you do in Ramadan after Taraweeh? He said, first I play PlayStation. Then I watch some TV. Then we eat again, and we go play soccer. Soccer, 3 in the morning? We play football, Kura. 3 in the morning until Fajr. Some of them crash before Fajr. You know, their body is already done. So they don't even pray Fajr. The ones that are يعني مشي حالك among them, they pray Fajr, and then they told me with their own words, and their parents are supposedly people of, you know, practicing Muslims. Their parents are practicing Muslims. He said, then we sleep from Fajr to Dhuhr. Then our parents wake us up for Salah, we go pray, come back, sleep from Dhuhr to Asr, then our parents wake us up to pray Asr, then we sleep till Maghrib, 10 minutes before Maghrib we wake up. This is fasting? This is sleeping. What fasting is this, man? Anybody can sleep. Some people think it's a skill to sleep. Anyone can sleep. Just put your head like this and you're done. From Fajr till Dhuhr till Asr till Maghrib, Niyam, Noam. Then during the night, you know, like it's the day. You go outside, there's traffic. Like 3 in the morning, what are you people doing outside? So, you know, even though the society does that, it doesn't mean it's okay. And it doesn't mean we have to do this either. You stick to your rules. You stick to your way. The way of other places is more closer to the sunnah in this fashion. After Taraweeh, you spend a little time with your family, whatever, you want to have dinner, then go sleep, ya akhi. Wake up for Fajr, so during the day you can do something. So your fasting will be of value, but sleeping all time, anyone cannot eat and sleep. No one eats while they're sleeping. So there's no point in fasting if we're going to spend it in sleep. So I hope this is understood. The Shaykh was criticizing the individuals who turn, you know, things around and they spend it in watching TV and being heedless. He said it is very unfortunate how it is very unfortunate how some people do not take proper advantage of Ramadan. So they spend it in soap operas, movies, you know, all these kinds of TV programs. And then, you know, that's one aspect. The other aspect is what? Like the month of fasting became the month of food. Isn't that amazing? The month of Siyam, the month where we're supposed to abstain from food, it became the month of food. You go to the market, you see product or merchandise that you will not see during the rest of the year. It's only in Ramadan. Only in Ramadan. It's ajeeb how we have become. We have turned everything around. Even the month of Siyam became the month of Ta'am. And so we spend the whole night, you know, people do Qiyam at Danub. Right? The Qiyam is in the cashier, you know, behind the cashier. You know, waiting with the everyday, you know, big meal, sambusa and dajaj. And Rashikh, take it easy, man. Take it easy on yourself. Eat a little bit of food and continue with your life. You're going to turn it into eating day and night. You know, instead of losing weight in Ramadan, we come out with an extra, you know, 6 kilos. How could that be? How can the month of fasting, 30 days, you gain weight? It's impossible. Unless you are eating all the time. So the Shaykh was making, he was criticizing these things. He says, Allahu khair, and these things do need to be addressed. And this is besides the special advertisement that you only see in Ramadan, you know, the musalsalat, the soap operas that only come in Ramadan, specifically dedicated by shaitan to the ummah. So he can mislead them. He starts preparing for this before Ramadan. So when Ramadan comes around, special programs that you would not see outside Ramadan. So my advice to you is, go to the grocery store or even a maktaba, a bookstore, buy a scissor and cut off your TV cable. Cut it off. Try it for 1 month. Try to live your life for 1 month without TV. You will find that you have so much time for Quran, so much time for dhikr, so much time for many other things that you haven't been doing, because the TV has occupied everyone's time. The whole family. Wallah, it's a whole other lifestyle. Even if the TV has Islamic channels and blah blah blah, still, akhi, it will take your time up. Try to live without a TV for 1 month. Trust me, if there's goodness in us, you will feel such sweetness that you will never turn on the TV in your life again. But we have to try it. I know some people who did. Wallah, they've been better ever since that day. Their lives has changed because they took out this TV, which was the shaitan living with them at home. The bottom line is that the one who seeks Allah's mercy should remember Allah abundantly during sitting down, while lying on the side, while standing up, at all occasions, and he should strive to be among the muttaqeen, because Allah said, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Verily Allah only accepts the deeds of the people of taqwa. Ibn Umar used to say, لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَبِلَ صَلَاةً لَاتَّكَلْتُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He said, if I knew that Allah accepted one salah, I would have depended on it. Because Allah says He only accepts among from the muttaqeen. Meaning if Allah accepted my salah, I'm from the muttaqeen. If I'm from the muttaqeen, I'm going to Jannah. But Ibn Umar was saying, I don't have a guarantee that Allah accepted one salah. No guarantee Allah accepted one salah. Which one of us will say that today? No way. We say, brother, come on. Of course Allah is accepting my deeds. But that's not the attitude. That's not the attitude. So we need to strive to be among the muttaqeen. And the second part of the khutbah, Allah ya'inakum. The Shaykh said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the minbar. Three steps of the minbar. And in every step, he would climb, he would say, Ameen. First time, second time, third time. The Sahaba were wondrous. They asked him, why were you saying Ameen upon taking every step? He said, Jibreel came to me and said, O Muhammad, Raghima Anfu, what does that mean? Meaning, may he be, it's basically a form of dua. What Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, Thakilatka Ummuka ya Mu'adh, may your mother be depraved over your death. May your mother lose you. And you may you die and her be, you know, grieved over your death. It is not meant in the literal sense. Meaning, may his nose be rubbed in dust. May his nose be rubbed in the ground. Who? The one who reaches Ramadan and he is not forgiven. The one who makes it to Ramadan is not forgiven. May his nose be rubbed in dust. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ameen. Then he said, the second Ameen, he said, may he be, his nose be rubbed in dust. The one who his parents, one of them or both of them, attain old age and he doesn't enter Jannah. Because he's not doing his job in terms of being dutiful. And the third one is, may his nose be rubbed in dust, the slave with whom I am remembered, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, and he doesn't say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Three. The first one is, if you make it to Ramadan and your sins are not forgiven, then that's no good. That means that we are no good. He said, the point of emphasis in this hadith is that making it to Ramadan without having the sins forgiven. And Jibreel was wondering, Jibreel was you know, shocked. How can that be? How can that be? This is why he was making a supplication to that person, the one who's been deprived, that he has missed out on the opportunity of having his sins forgiven in this blessed month, and not attaining Allah's mercy and His forgiveness. The Shaykh said, the devils are chained. And according to some of the other narrations, just between me and you, not all of the shayateen are chained. Because if all of the shayateen are chained, then there will be no ma'siyah. Right? And even some say the nafs al-ammara bisu, that's also debatable. But the other narrations explain, like the one in Tirmidhi, maradatu shayateen. The most wicked among the shayateen are chained. There are still some shayateen, and there's still the nafs al-ammara bisu. So, but still you find people have the tendency to avoid more sins and do more good deeds because the strength of shaitan has been decreased. He doesn't have the same authority which he has outside of Ramadan, because in Ramadan, many of them are chained. And further, Allah, you know, gives the believer more strength to resist temptation. So the Shaykh said, is there an excuse then that we are not saved from the fire? We have 30 nights or 29. Is there an excuse that we are not among those who are saved from the fire? Because every night, لِلَّهِ عُتَقَاءٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ كُلُّ لَيْلَةٍ. And in the other narration, Allah will have people whom He will free from the fire, that's every night. At least one of them, we should get it. The Shaykh said, then we should welcome this blessed month, which is a guest, which is coming to us with many blessings. The Shaykh said, and now, from now until before it's too late, get rid of everything which will distract you from preparation for Ramadan. That's very good. Jazakallah khairan. You still have how many days? What's today? The 24th of Sha'ban? 25th of Sha'ban? You have 4 days to finish your shopping. Get it done with. Eat clothes, children's clothes, food, stuff. Try to get most of it done. Now inevitably you will have to go sometimes in Ramadan to get more food. Unless your fridge, mashallah, can fit food for a whole month. But usually you can get most of the things done now. Because you don't want to spend Ramadan, as I mentioned, doing Qiyam al-Danub. And you don't want to spend it in the market with the fitan of the women who don't fear Allah in their dress code. And going around, you know, the whole night wasting that blessed time shopping. Get rid of everything that will distract you. Finish your shopping, the most important of them, from now. So once Ramadan comes, you're free. You're free. And all of us live near the supermarket. So even if you have to go shopping, it's a close distance. You don't have to get in your car and get stuck in traffic for 3 hours. You can walk to the marketplace, get the shopping done and go back home. So that's a very good reminder from the Sheikh, that we should utilize this time in order to finish our business. Then the Sheikh concluded the khutbah by asking Allah Azza wa Jal to elongate or extend our life spans so that we may make it to Ramadan, and that He may bless us in that month in our times in Ramadan, and to give us success to do every deed which is beloved to Him and is pleasing to Him. And he made, you know, other dua. And in conclusion, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal also to truly make this Ramadan a different Ramadan. For to truly understand what it means to be a slave of Allah. So that this month, inshallah, will be the launching of a new understanding of life. That understanding is, I'm a slave of Allah and I do what He wills. All the time, 24/7, as much as I can. If we acquire this understanding in Ramadan, wallahi, we will never go astray again. We will never go to the hellfire. All we have to do is internalize this one concept. I am a slave of Allah. Which means, everything Allah and His Messenger ﷺ said, I will do. Everything they forbade, I will leave alone to the best of my ability. That is the understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. جزاكم الله خيرا for sticking around. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.